Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Zion on this beautiful Sunday morning. Happy Mother's Day to our mothers as we remember our mothers and celebrate mothers. I'm going to open this morning with reading a few words from Psalm 100 as we prepare for worship. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I want to welcome those of you that are home from college. I also see some extended family members that are here today. Some of us were enjoying the Roth wedding, the masked Roth wedding yesterday, and it's great to have some extended family here with us. Let's stand for a few moments and greet one another. If you have announcements, please come forward.
Hi. So, you know that story about the loaves and fishes where God blessed with lots of food? We have a lot of food left over from the wedding. So, we will be back there after the service, and we would love if you'd come back and we'll just fill a container for you and you can take it home. So, happy Mother's Day.
This is our first coins count, my coins counts, and if you forgot to bring your coins today, we'll take anything, just throw it in. And I need more kids to help pick up the coins. So I'm trying to encourage all the gals, if they're getting pregnant, to have twins.
I am announcing again for the second Sunday about our little field trip up to Portland Art Museum next Sunday. That's the 20th. We We were imagining it just being the youth at first, but then we were like, this is something that a lot of people would be interested in. It's a super cool exhibit from a guy who is a photographer. His name's Fazal Sheikh. And it will be immediately after church. We will go to the food carts first, and then we will go to the Portland Art Museum. We should be there between 2:15, 2:30. We need a group of 12 to get our discount. So we need 5 more adults. All children are free under the age of 18. So we get, it's $15.99 if we have 12 people going. What else do I need to say about it? Yeah, so we would love for a whole group of us to go, any youth. It's interesting photography. It is, sometimes it's a little bit hard to look at, but it's kind of like going to the real life exhibit where it's pictures of beautiful hard things all over the world. So ask me or email Andy if you are interested in joining our group. We will be paying when we get there. So, okay?
I'd like to call my helpers to come up for our call to worship this morning. Thank you to Seth, Kellen, and Allie. We gather as a covenant people for worship, praise, and prayer.
We gather because the tomb is empty and Christ is alive.
Though physically absent from us, the Spirit of Christ is here.
Because Christ is with us, he gives us his peace.
He replaces our doubt with faith and our fear with hope.
He opens our minds to understand the Scripture.
He reminds us of what we have seen and heard.
He calls us to be his witnesses.
We gather so that we may be sent.
We go to make his name known to the nations.
We go to fulfill his mission. We go in his time to live his plan, using his ways, not our own. We gather to worship so that we may be sent. We go with joy to be God's people. Let's sing together.
Turn with me to number 26 in the blue book. Number 26.
We expect you,
And turn now to 120, number 120. And let's stand.
Holy, 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 the darkness hideth, holy, by my sin thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Everybody, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all the world shall praise thy name in earth and sky.
Number 49 in the Purple Book. Number 49.
I will come to you. I love you.
Will the ushers please come forward for our offering? Let's pray. Dear God, accept these gifts we humbly offer. Use them and use us to reach into places where your goodness is not yet known. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
These wonderful sisters, Kristen and Karen, are a part of our Zion family for many years, and they just share beautiful music weekly with us, and I just really appreciate them. Thank you. I'm going to invite the kids to get your cups and walk around and collect change from the adults and bring them forward and put them in the bucket as you come up for children's story.
My coins count. Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count. We can make a difference in the world. If we look around, there are people that we see all around the world. Needing food or water or a chance to live in peace. We can make a difference in the world because my coins count. I'm sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count. We can make a difference in the world. The gifts we are given to be shared all around the world. It doesn't matter if they're big or small, we'd use their care. We can make a difference in the world because my coins count. Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count. We can make a difference in the world. Together, there's a lot we can.
That's what a cactus is. Okay. All right. Who else we got? Hey, Isaac. How's it going? Yep. Okay. Levi, come on. It's okay. So we're at Matthew this morning. He's talking about Jesus' ascension. Do you know what that is? No? Well, after Jesus rose from the dead and came back at Easter, remember all that stuff, and he talked to his friends, and we talk about that stuff all the time, right, at Easter time. How it goes, Redmond? You know how it goes? But then how did Jesus leave? He rose, exactly. He went, his disciples were all there, and they were standing on a hill, and he rose, and he went up into the sky, into the clouds, until they couldn't see him anymore. Have you ever seen anything do that? Have you ever stood and watched until something disappeared into the clouds?
A balloon.
If you lose a balloon, sometimes that happens. But other than a balloon, I had never seen that happen before. And I don't think I really watched the balloon until it was all the way gone, up high. A bird. Yeah. So one day I went to Arizona to visit my friend. And do they have these in Arizona? Yes, Eli, you do. Somebody would have to fly up and grab it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you don't have one, you have a problem. Sometimes you see them in the sky too. So I was in Arizona where there's cactus like this. You see this cactus? Yeah, I'm going to show you some pictures here. Okay, you looking at the pictures, Jack? Okay, here we go. So there were these guys. They were there. Do they look happy? Yeah, they were happy. That's the funny thing about this place, this desert museum in Tucson, is that all the animals seem to be pretty darn happy to be there. They aren't trying to leave because they live in the desert, right? And it's kind of harsh in the desert. It's hard to find things to eat and stuff. And so they like to kind of living there, I think, because somebody brings them food every single day, right? Sometimes a few times a day. What about this, Isaac? Do you know what this is? Is that a kitty? Yeah, that's a bobcat. He was there too. Well, they also had these birds. Do you see this here? Is it owl? Yeah. Does he look happy? No, he doesn't look happy because it's daytime, I think. Owls don't like to be awake during the daytime, do they? They like to be awake at nighttime. But he comes out in the daytime to eat the food because the people are there to see him. And then we also saw this guy here. That's a hawk. That's a red-tailed hawk. he's the fastest. Well, anyway, I don't know. But what he can do is fly super high. So they let him loose, and he flew into a tree like that. And then the next time I took a picture, all I got was a little edge here of his wing. Because he flew up into the sky, and big circles went up and up and up and up. And we're all standing there, and we were watching him. We were watching him go up. We were watching him go up, 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 up. And he got tinier and tinier and tinier until he was just a little speck way up in the air. And then I couldn't see anything at all. He was gone. He disappeared into the sky. And we stood down there, and they put the food into the tree for him, and we stood down there, and we waited, and we waited, and we waited. And the people stood, and they talked about birds, and they talked about the other animals, and they said, he'll come down when he's ready to come down. And we waited, and we waited, and we waited. No, there was no balloon. Yes, and we didn't have a helicopter. We just had to sit there and wait. And we waited and we waited and we waited. And I was looking up, and all of a sudden somebody said, oh, look, there he comes. And I was looking and I was looking, and I couldn't see him at all. And then all of a sudden, boom, he was right there, right in front of my face. And he went right over my head into the tree and got his food. Boom, just that fast. And I thought to myself later, I thought, boy, that's just like what Jesus did. He went all the way up into the sky. Well, we couldn't see him anymore, but he's still there, right? He's still there, and someday he'll come back, and we don't know when. We wait, and we wait, and we wait, and we don't know when, and maybe we'll never see when, right? Because we don't know when. Yeah, we just don't know, do we? We don't know when he's going to come back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, God, for this beautiful world you made us that helps us to better understand you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'll be reading from Luke 24, verses 44 to 53. I think those are on the screen. Yeah. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Matthew.
Yes, what a day of rich significance, celebrating Mother's Day, as well as this Ascension Sunday. And over the years, the significance of this Ascension Sunday has grown on me in importance. And hopefully I can make it a bit more clear again for you this particular Sunday. There is also a sermon outline and one of the inserts in today's bulletin that you can follow along. Hopefully it'll help in understanding what I'm sharing, but I also find that's a good discipline for me to help keep my thoughts more focused. And the question that I have in response to the passage just heard is this. What are these disciples so joyful about at this moment as they watch Jesus ascend and then disappear from their sight? Not long before then, this, their best friend, had been taken from them by force and killed. And then after the stunning, surprising joy of the resurrection, now he's gone again, but this time at his own volition. So what is there to celebrate about that? Even worse, it seems, he will be gone during a future in which he told them to expect opposition, persecution, even death in his name. And then you just heard him give them a major job to preach the gospel of, quote, repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name to all the nations of the world. And that, too, without his presence? With those questions in mind, Christ's ascension sounds almost more like a recipe for discouragement, frustration, and fear than for the great joy that Luke records. To understand this surprising, counterintuitive joy in these disciples, it helps to put ourselves in their shoes and look in the same directions that they were looking, to their past, to their present, and to their future. And those, I think, are what they found so exciting, that filled them with great joy. And if we do that, then I think we will also find that the present, the past, and the future that they were so joyful about are our present, our past, and our future as well. And that we have the same reasons then to rejoice on this Ascension Sunday. And first, speaking about their present, that's point one in the outline. Those who saw Jesus ascending did not think that they were seeing Christ's disappearance from their world. They were seeing Christ's enthronement over their world, or his coronation, if you wish. Knowing their Bibles, they saw Christ's ascension as the fulfillment of passages like, make sure I get the right button here. Did it? Yes, it worked. Okay. Fulfillment of passages like this one from Psalm 47, verse 5. You have ascended on high. You have led captive your captives. You have received gifts among men, even among the rebellious also, that the Lord God may dwell there. Or this next one from Psalm 47, 5. God has ascended amid shouts of joy. Those are all passages celebrating the enthronement of Israel's God over Israel, over his enemies, even over the whole world. And in the years following their exile in Babylon, when pagan Gentile kings and their kingdoms still ruled over their land, Israel came to understand those verses as applying to a coming Messiah who would also embody the kingship of God over Israel and then the world. And so how comforting, how celebrative that would be to these Jewish disciples who had just seen their Messiah killed on a cross of shame and who lived under the humiliating yoke of Roman domination, corruption, exploitation. But Christ's ascension told them, and it tells us as well, that God has not left his people bereft. It even says that brutal, idolatrous, and corrupt kings like Caesar now have a king over them, a just, holy, righteous, loving king to whom they must give account, the very king whom they had put to death on a cross of shame and pain. And I wonder if that is a major reason why the Amish celebrate Ascension Day They observe it on the actual Ascension Day of the week as a very important holiday to them, just as important as Christmas, as Easter or Pentecost. Now, I couldn't find any phone numbers by which to call the Amish and ask them, why is this day so important? I couldn't find an Amish church website to email them and ask why it's so important. But we did have a group of Amish visitors this week from Missouri visiting at the Historical Society Center, just the other side of this parking lot. And on Thursday, the actual calendar day of Ascension Day, because coming exactly 40 days after the resurrection, Resurrection Sunday, it always comes on a Thursday. We're celebrating it a few days later today. So I came over to the center to greet them, and I wished a few of them a happy, blessed Ascension Day to you. And they smiled and seemed to appreciate that. I knew its importance to them. Well, one gentleman looked a little embarrassed and said to me, well, we didn't know that this would be Ascension Day when we first booked this trip a while back, but it was really the only time it worked out. Otherwise, we would not be doing any work or any major travel this day. We would gather for worship in someone's home, and we'd spend time then with the family and relatives around a big dinner time, a big meal, like on Easter, for example. And some Amish groups, I learned, also will spend at least the first part of the day in prayer and fasting. So I asked the same man the meaning of Ascension Day for him, and I quickly realized I was being a little too probing and personal, and he didn't really want to go there, and he really wanted to look at the stuff that was laid out already for them in terms of documents and pictures as they were exploring things related to their ancestors and the ancestors of a few people here, and that's fine, I realized. But doing a little bit of online research, I did run across in an online cookbook, an Amish cookbook. The Amish didn't put it up. But I ran across this Ascension Day prayer. See if I've got it up. There we go. Yes, thanks. This Ascension Day prayer. O great God, we worship, extol, praise, and glorify thee because of thy ascension. For thou ascendest with jubilation and with the clear sound of trumpets. Do you hear again the echo of that language of enthronement from Israel's Psalms? Now, I know the Amish... Did I get it down? Good. Now, the Amish have suffered, as we know, great persecution and hostility throughout history. They refuse to participate in military service or to conform to so many other regular worldly activities. And in worship, they sing the songs of their martyr ancestors from a 16th century collection called the Ausbund. But they don't do so out of any hostility or animosity, nor any sense of superiority over and against worldly kings and kingdoms and countries. They do all that because they believe that over all kings and kingdoms and countries of this world, there has ascended a higher king of a higher kingdom who holds all of us to account, to whom we all shall have to answer, king and commoner, president and the public, in every country and kingdom. And this ascended ruler and this realm of his will outlast and replace all other human dominions and institutions someday. And it is the one, the king, whose ascension that we're celebrating today. His enthronement did not take place in a gilded palace in a royal city like Rome and Jerusalem or London, as we would expect, but in the plain open air of all creation. And nor was this king's coronation witnessed and attended by other high and mighty royalty and nobility, as we might expect. But simply the honored attendees and witnesses were simple fisher folk, farmers, and the poor and the lowly of the earth. And the meaning of that overlooked but true ascended ruler over all realms finds expression in the words of a hymn by James Russell Lowell, which Dr. Martin Luther King often quoted In verse 4 of that hymn, once to every man and nation. Though the cause of evil prosper, yet the truth alone is strong. Though her portion be the scaffold and upon the throne be wrong, yet that scaffold sways the future, and behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. This week, then, our Amish friends celebrate the assurance that no opposition, persecution, injustice, or suffering inflicted in the world or by the world has the last word over us. That Christ is on the throne of heaven and earth as King of Kings, as Lord of Lords, keeping watch above his own is why the ascension of Christ gave those disciples hope and joy for the here and now, their present. And with the Amish, we also can share that hope for the here and now, the present. Secondly, point 2 in the outline, the ascension cast the disciples' past in a positive, joyous light. The ascension, or if you want to call it the enthronement or the coronation of Christ, vindicates or justifies everything that Jesus, their Lord and Master, had taught and done and said in his 3 years of ministry. That's subpoint A of the outline there. And that justification had to cheer the disciples who had seen their master just recently bear so much of the worst that the world, the flesh, and the devil could give him. Christ's ascension also vindicated or justified the disciples themselves. That's subpoint B. It vindicated them for having said yes when their master said, "Come follow me." And they'd given the right answer to that command, at least. Now, there are many other failures and foibles and faults on their part to forgive. But the ascension of Jesus proved that the one who forgave them was Lord over all, even over anyone or anything that might condemn or accuse them. The disciples then responded to the ascension with joy because the forgiveness that they needed was also triumphantly, powerfully, and eternally assured by the coronation of their King. And so is our forgiveness. The ascension of Christ then reframed their understanding of their difficult past with Jesus. And that can do the same for our past, whatever our losses, our regrets, our failures, our faults, our foibles. Our forgiveness is also guaranteed by the one who ascended and who represents us in heaven, the one who offers his throne to share with us. The third point in the outline, third point, is that the ascension provoked joy and hope in the disciples as they looked ahead to their future for at least 2 reasons. And one reason had to do with their hope for the world's future. That's subpoint A. As Christ ascends to the throne, he gives the disciples this charge to carry forth the message of repentance and forgiveness for sins to all the nations of the world in his name, beginning in Jerusalem. So into the world then will go a message of forgiveness and of hope, a ministry of reconciliation for the healing of the nations. And that in contrast to all the messages and ministrations of destruction and despair and division that are always coming at us from this world and its kingdoms. God has a better destiny in mind for the world than the world often has for itself. That's what the ascension showed the disciples. And the other reason, subpoint B, for the disciples' joy had to do with their own personal futures. They had just been told that they will be the heralds and the agents of this ministry of reconciliation for the healing of the nations. And so are we. That might not, however, be quite good news as much as it sounds. After all, they had already, under the tutelage of Jesus, with him on the road, failed and flopped around at such their calling already, even with him present. So who then is up to a task like that? Certainly not they, as they proved over and over again. And how confident should we be about ourselves and the ministries that our ascended Lord has given us? But Jesus has not only given these disciples a task to do, He promises them as well the power with which to carry it out. Jesus told them, as you heard, to, quote, stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So the fulfillment of that promise, we celebrate next week on Pentecost Sunday with the descent of the Holy Spirit. But suffice it for now to say that Christ ascended so that his Spirit could descend upon us. For the disciples then, theirs is the joy of anticipation, the anticipation of being clothed with this power from on high. And then they will be able to do, by the power of the Holy Spirit, all that they had so often failed to do in their own human power. Perhaps they even needed to fail and to flop around sometimes in the weakness of their own human power and wisdom. And then they could be all the more open and eager and ready and desirous to receive, to be willing to let God do for them what they were unable to do for God. Hopefully that helps us think more positively, too, about our own failures, our faults, our future, our struggles and our setbacks in the present, in the past, and those we might fear in the future. Kind of like with an insurance agent whom I knew in rural Minnesota. Some days he would come home disappointed from work, no calls, or visiting farms and families and coffee shops and businesses, making no new sales that day, not expanding any current accounts, hearing lots of no's and maybes, which sometimes mean about the same thing. When he would come home dejected like this, sometimes his wife would tell him, "Good for you, honey. You got your 9 no's out of the way on the way to hearing a yes someday soon." That every single yes is worth more than 9 no's, isn't it? "Where'd you hear that?" he'd ask. "From you," she'd say. So for that sales agent, 1 success to 9 failures still put him ahead. But only after putting in the time and the effort to show up, to try, even to fail sometimes. And that's how it would work out for the disciples. The power of God would succeed just where their own power had so often stopped and failed. But they had to be there for that to happen. Because Christ is still on the throne, still at work in our world, our own failures and faults, our struggles, our losses can sometimes prove more fruitful than our so-called successes. So again, why this great joy on the part of these disciples? Even when it looked like Jesus was going away, physically at least. And what cause of joy is there for us 20 plus centuries later? Well, again, let's remember that what looks like Christ's disappearance is actually his enthronement. What looks like Christ's absence in first century Palestine is actually his presence here and now, always and everywhere, without regard to time or space. And then again, one, we can look to the present with trust in Christ and his kingship over a rebellious fallen creation. 2, we can look backwards in time and see the justification and the vindication of Jesus, of his word and of his works, and of our desire to follow him. And 3, we can look ahead, as did the disciples, and foresee this healing of the nations through the gospel of forgiveness in his name and our own empowerment and engagement with that ministry of reconciliation through the Holy Spirit. More on that next week. Amen.
Please stand and sing with me number 37 in the Blue Book, number 37.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
It's that time of year when we have the privilege and the joy of seeing some of our friends and family back from college, like Brandon and Trevor and Jared, and let's see, am I missing any others? Sarah. Okay. Oh, no, okay. Well, welcome anyway. Yes. Okay, and did I hear Drew? All right, welcome, yeah. Also, too, I'd like to draw your attention to some other inserts in the bulletin. Wonderful reflections from Jana from her sabbatical time with us, as well as a news and update from Wendy Roth about the month that they are spending beginning today at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. Both are shared with us by mothers, by the way. And again, something to celebrate, thinking about the love of God that we know simply from, so often from our, hopefully from our parents, and continue to know through life as well. Are there any other joys or testimonies or thoughts that anyone would wish to share for us to take to prayer this morning and this week? Mary.
I feel like Cynthia's given me the stink eye. So, mom is just so healthy that she thought she could leap backward and not get hit by a sprinkler on Monday, but it did not work out for her. So she went down and broke her left hip and left wrist. And I was so happy in the ER as they were taking her down to the floor where she was going to be staying for the next few days. Dr. Thorsett will be in to see your mom in the morning. Yes! That's who I wanted. He is a great orthopedist. So they needed to wait a little bit. Her bones are so small that they needed to wait for a plate to come from Portland and screws to fix her wrist. I don't know if that came from the pediatric hospital. She has very small bones. And then because of the proximity in the break of her femur to the hip joint and the way the ball was affected in that joint, they went ahead and did a total hip replacement. So good news, she got a brand new hip. So on Thursday, we moved to Benedictine for rehab. On Friday, was because she went in the afternoon, we saw the physical therapist and the occupational therapist for the first times. And all along the way, even Wednesday morning when she woke up and was getting up that first time after surgery late in the day before, the thing we keep hearing is just how much better she is doing than a lot of people her age that have this happen to them. And I credit that to the fact that she never stops, and she goes to water aerobics, and she walks and plants, and just she really uses her range of motion to its fullest extent on a daily basis, and that puts her in a really advanced place for healing. I'm dreaming of bringing her home on Friday, but they really do say 14 days, so it could be the following week. And then at that time, I'll go on FMLA and be at home with her full time. So that'll be no conference for her, which is really crushing. That'll be no conference for me, because I will have exhausted everything I have as far as time off. So just pray. Her pain is very minimal. She's super strong, and I keep telling people she won't complain. So she won't complain, so maybe just push at her a little bit to make sure she's really being as honest as possible with pain, or if she's hungry, or if she needs another blanket, she won't complain. So we're just so happy for the progress that she's made. And if you don't have her cell phone number and you want to give her a phone call, that would mean lots to her. If you want to drive over to Mount Angel and see her, that would be super great too. I think mornings is when they do the therapies, so afternoons and evenings she has more free time. And that'd be nice. I thought maybe some people from her Bible study group on Tuesday mornings might maybe be able to pop over on Tuesday. Carolyn, maybe you could spearhead that.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. Ashley.
Hey guys, so Ellie's 3-month scan is coming up June 11th. So if you guys could just keep her in your prayers for no more cancer growth, that'd be amazing. Also, just keep her in your prayers in regards to 3 lymph nodes in her pelvic area that are a little bit swollen, that they're not cancerous, and that they're just, you know, post-surgery inflammation, and then also a lump near her incision. So pray for no cancer, and yeah, thank you so much, guys.
Yes, thank you. Now we know why Mother's Day is such a thing to celebrate. Yes. And Father's Day, too. Yes. We've all been there, I think. Yes, Becky.
I just wanted to share with the whole congregation just the struggle in my life recently. After being at the county for 4.5 years and working pretty hard, they have decided to lay me off as of June 30th. So I've been doing some interviews, and I have a meeting with the Human Resources Department this week, because it's, you know, all the employees are unionized, and, you know, Matthew and I have been talking about a lot of different things, you know, is this a time to seek retirement for myself or not, or, you know, just a lot of different things. So I would ask your prayers for both of us at this time. Thank you.
Would you join me then in prayer, please? Again, prayer to close with the Lord's Prayer. To you who are the head of this, your body, we bring praise, honor, and thanksgiving. For you descended first to enter the brokenness and lowliness of our fallen condition. Yet also have you lifted and brought us with you into your glorious ascended, exalted place of dignity, of holiness and power, of love, where you reign over all that is yours, beginning with us, the church, beginning in our hearts and minds and lives. Grant that we might know and show our glorious, exalted dignity in union with you as your body, in the love, the service, and the humility that you showed in union with us by taking on our bodies. Grant as well that the life of your Spirit would flow through us, your body, from you our head, in love, service, and honor shown one to another and to those about us. As you descended and drew near to us, draw us nearer to you, that our hearts might be set more and more on the gifts and the glory that you won in your victory over sin and death, that you share with us. May we find our unity with each other through your union with us. And you are the head of an infinitely larger body, the church, in all times and places. May we, your body, be used of you to minister to those parts that suffer with others in persecution, poverty, temptation, corruption, and illness. May your Spirit, who unites us with all others in your body, sustain with confidence and bless those, and bless with healing and help Wendy and Jacqueline as they embark on a month in the Mayo Clinic. Also, this we pray on behalf of Pat, as she is healing both at Benedictine Center and soon at home. This we pray for Ellie, that she would be relieved and released from the fear of cancer. And this we pray for Becky as she seeks your future and work. God, today we also remember with awe and wonder that we were simply granted the gift and the honor of existence through the love of parents. Especially on this Mother's Day do we remember and celebrate all that motherhood reflects about your unfailing love, your tender and yet your fierce and protective love. And such love have we known through your gifts and blessings this season. The return and renewal of warmth, earth's fertility and fruitfulness, the love of friends, of family, of church, and so many other blessings this season. And with your one body, united to you, our exalted ascended head, we pray for sight soon of that which we see now only by faith, and for which you taught us to pray whenever we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
There's a song we sang last Sunday, and we didn't finish it. There's more love somewhere. There's more hope somewhere, and there's some more joy somewhere. And I'd like to finish that song this Sunday, and I think, and it's a simple song. If you sing it in the morning, and if you're looking for God's love that day, you'll probably find it. If you're looking for hope, you're going to find it. I'm speaking from an old man. If you're looking for joy, you're going to find that too. So let's sing that song, and let's start by doing Lou on the first or stand. Thank you. for joy, or joy there is.